You know, Barb, as we look at these mountains, and we've helped a lot of people move mountains, and we've moved a lot of them of our own.
Yes.
We have to look at it and say, is our response to this mountain, is it biblical, is it truthful, or is it irrational and emotional?
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you first recognize that mountain's there and it's kind of overwhelming to you and intimidates you, you respond emotionally. That's a very natural thing to do. But then when we get a hold of ourselves, so to speak, and we allow that word level to come up and we start speaking God's word, then we're moving over into truth and the biblical response to a mountain.
Mm-hmm. Because right. Probably the wisest person is the one who can hold his tongue. When that thing happens, when that shock comes, when the surprise comes, probably the greatest showing of character and strength in a person's life is when they can hold that tongue and not get angry and look over the situation and appraise everything, examine everything, and then give an answer.
Well, I have a list
so
of
important.
Those things.
Do you? Okay.
I just happen to have it with me.
So what are some of the responses
or
reactions?
Okay, I think one of the first things we have is either fear or anger.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have those, and it may be panic, we may be just totally overwhelmed. Like we received a letter from a dear lady the other day, and a sweet gentleman was in our meeting here several months ago, and she said he died last week, and he was quite elderly fellow. He wasn't a young guy, so we knew someday he's going to die, which we're all going to die
mm-hmm.
someday. But she said, I'm just overwhelmed. You know, the suddenness of his death, I'm just overwhelmed. Well, she could respond with panic, or she could get mad, or she could be bitter, or she'd be blamed. She'd say, well, here I am a victim, and be in unforgiveness, or be cynical.
Mm-hmm.
And all of those are mountains, folks.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you, all of them are mountains. All of those are reactions that are so unfortunately human, but it comes from the flesh side of us.
That's right. One of the biggest one when we're hit with something is self-pity. It's, oh my goodness, nobody has ever gone through this. Nobody's ever gone through the devastation I have. And self-pity sets in, and it's absolutely devastating. It is one of the most devastating personalities of a reaction to a mountain that I know of, Darren.
Well, you know, and they get into that, and then some become cynical, some become sarcastic, just with life in general.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen people, it didn't matter what people said around them, they had a sarcastic response. There was a bitterness creeping up in there. And in Hebrews 12:15, it says, be careful that a spirit of bitterness does not come in, and by it many be defiled. It
mm-hmm.
raises its head, and defilement enters the whole scene.
Yes.
Well, then some people just tune out. They become passive.
And that's like apathy. And this whole country, I believe, Darren, is growing in apathy. They don't care that they don't care that they don't care. I don't care. I don't care what's going on. Just leave me alone. And what's going on in our government right now, I don't care. As long as I'm getting a good paycheck, I don't care what's going on. That is one of the worst things we can admit.
And some people say, you know, I could really care less. And
mm.
if you think about what that says, you know, I'd have to try to care any less than I care right now. And some people actually try that. Well, then some people respond by saying, I'm going to isolate myself.
Mm-hmm.
Some people get in the house, they pull the drapes and turn off the lights, and they're not out of there for days.
That's death.
And they're going around and around doing the loop in depression, isolation. Some just get into denial, say, oh, everything's fine. What will be, will be. Come see, come saw. Let's go on with life.
Mm-hmm.
Don't worry about it. You know, eat, drink for tomorrow. We're going to die.
And then there's that other one, the other reaction, that's suicide.
Right.
It's just taking your own life, saying it's not worth it. I'm not worth it. I'm not of any value. And it, just killing yourself.
Now, there's a thread that weaves through all of these, and it's called pride.
Mm.
And that pride will rise up and defend itself, and it'll say, I have a right to remain. I'm going to stay here, but folks, I'm going to tell you, Holy Spirit is the one that could put his finger on the mountain. We've been reading here a list of mountains. Again, it's fear and panic and anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, a blame. Oh, can't everybody see what a victim I am? Yeah, I mean, and you look at a person that's bought into that, they have victim written all over them, head to foot. Cynicism, sarcasm, self-pity, to be passive, to be an isolate, to be in denial, or to be attempting suicide, or to think suicide thoughts. All of that is threaded through a spirit of pride. And when Holy Spirit says, this is what the problem is, this is why the mountain is there, you need to get on your knees and say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, I command that mountain to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
You need to memorize Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 22, 23, and 24. The 22nd verse says, have the faith of God.
Mm.
Verse 23 says you can remove the mountains if you speak to him and don't doubt.
So we can really have the faith of God.
Amen.
Oh, that's
so asking
that's
for
dramatic.
It. And then Mark 11:24 says, if you believe you receive these things, they'll be granted unto you. Well, there's a process for you. You learn those scriptures. Really learn those scriptures until they speak to you night and day. You're going to be a faith person and on top of it. I don't care if you got saved last week.
Mm-hmm.
This is not just for mature, long-term believers.
That's right.
This is for the brand new believer. You can take it and go for it.
That's right. Because if you were just born again last week, your body is the temple of Holy Spirit, and He dwells in you. And like we were saying in the first half of this teaching, in 1 Corinthians 2, that spiritual man or woman, and you are a spiritual man and woman, if you have received Jesus as your Savior, they examine, they investigate, they inquire into, they examine everything. And this is what you have to do to identify your mountain. You have to ask Holy Spirit to help you identify, examine everything in your life there.
Now, Barb, I know Holy Spirit's speaking to me right now because I've been where I'm going to talk about. Some of you that are listening to this message today are saying, I don't even know what questions to ask.
That's true.
That's true. You can say to Holy Spirit, would you please put the appropriate questions in my heart and in my mouth that I could ask? And when I ask those questions, I'll be on the track to the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, I used to use that process, and it works. That's a supernatural process, because I'd be so confused, I'd say, God, I didn't even know where to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I learned, well, Lord, would you just give me a list of questions? Because I know you said you would lead me into all truth, and when I ask you, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, you are bound by your character to answer me. Now, let me tell you, that's supernatural, Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
And he would give me a question at a time. I'd ask a question. I'd ask another question. Pretty soon he said, why don't you get a group discount? Why don't you ask me for the whole revelation on the subject?
Mm-hmm.
And here then would come question. And in the before I'd even get the question asked, I'd have the answer.
That's right.
That is so supernatural. So if you're confused, you're backed into a corner, that mountain is just right up in front of you. You can't even see straight up because it's right there. Ask Holy Spirit, give me the questions, get me on the right track, help me identify this thing, because when I ask, I'll receive, because the Word says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 8, everyone who asks receives.
Mm-hmm.
Well, guess what? He's going to give you a truth report, and that's exactly what you need to perceive.
That's right.
This
is
good stuff, Barbara.
It
I get
is.
So excited.
Praise the Lord.
Now, we have a battle plan for removing the mountains. And if we go back to Genesis chapter 17, verse 1, and Barb, would you go back to Genesis, and I'm going to ask you to read a couple verses out of Genesis. So Genesis 17, 1 and Genesis 18, 14.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about removing the mountains. We have to get back and go after it with Scripture. Don't try to do it with reason. I'm sorry, I threw you a curve there.
Yes.
I got on the wrong page of my
but
notes.
It's
Forgive
good.
Me.
It's good. It's about, you know, God being who He is. And we've got to know that He is that solid rock, that foundation in our lives more than anything else. And that's good.
Yeah, I got on the wrong page. Isn't that interesting? You know, you get on the wrong page.
Boy, you're in deep doo-doo.
Right, right. Right after that, I wanted to have you go to Romans chapter 4.
Yes, that's the great... Probably one of the greatest faith chapters in the whole New Testament, written by Paul. Paul knew exactly what he was doing when he talked about this, because he had studied about Abraham in Genesis. He'd studied about him. He'd memorized those first five books. Being a Pharisee, he had memorized the Pentateuch, and so he knew exactly what he was talking about. Then to receive Jesus as his Messiah, he really had a well-rounded view of what this faith thing was all about.
Well, I want to say one thing. I did talk about Genesis 17:1. I just want to read this one verse. When Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I am God Almighty, walk before me and be blameless. And I will establish my covenant between me and you. That is so, so important. So important. Well, when we realize that God looked down and he could have chosen any group on the earth to be God to them,
mm-hmm.
but he chose this little group of Hebrews.
That's right, the smallest.
Smallest group. And he said, I want to be God to you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we're so blessed and so fortunate to have Almighty God, the all-powerful, all-knowing God that's every place at all times, to be our God. And I love that Deuteronomy 7:9, just can't help but quote it. Know this, that the Lord your God, He is God,
mm-hmm.
the faithful God who keeps His covenant and His loving kindness to the thousandth generation with those who love Him and keep His commandments.
That's right. And when He finally confronted Sarah, when he